Bom dia, boa tarde! Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 173. Well, here we are as we approach the very end of the 2022-2023 domestic football season in Portugal. And obviously, we've got the Taça de Portugal final, which I'll be previewing coming up this Sunday. We got the first leg of the Liga playoff between 2nd Division Estrela Amadora and 16th place Marítimo playing for a spot in next year's 1st Division. Want to talk a little bit soon here about TV, particularly very disappointing situation with BTV in North America, and some very good news regarding RTP International this weekend. I was going to do my Liga Best 11, but I decided to put that off another week. I want to spend a little bit more time studying some of the other players through the league. I don't want it necessarily to be dominated by the big three. And also at the beginning of the second half of this episode, I'll give you my thoughts on Roberto Martinez's Portugal call-ups. I was right about Ricardo Horta. I did think he was going to get picked, and he was. But we did obviously have a surprise with Toti Gomes, and I'll talk about that as well in a few minutes. But before I get going previewing Sunday's Cup Final in the Jumeirah. First off, very happy this weekend that RTP International will be broadcasting the Cup Final, the Taça de Portugal, at the usual time, Sunday at 7:15 Portugal time. A lot of people, especially the older generation, watch RTP International very closely. They're not only watching the news, they're watching Preço Certo, they're watching the novelas, and obviously they're also getting a chance to watch Portuguese football, soccer. And this year, I think it hasn't been on the last few years, the Taça de Portugal final, but it is back, so I'm very happy because I know a lot of people that rely on that, and that is very, very good news to see that the Cup Final on Sunday will be on RTP International. Also, very interesting situation I learned last week. The first person that DM'd me about it on Twitter was a gentleman named Johnny C. And then afterwards, Mr. Benfica, Michael Agostinho, he also basically reached out to me regarding the fact that apparently, if you subscribe to Benfica's BTV, which was on Fubo, I don't know if I know of Fubo, I don't subscribe to it, but they had the Benfica TV channel, BTV, on it. And apparently last Tuesday, it stopped being on the streaming services options. So as of last Tuesday, and the reason why it's interesting is because that was 3 days before the obviously Benfica on Saturday playing the Liga finale at home to win the title, which congratulations to Benfica. We know they did. But a lot of people were talking about this, about the fact that the week leading up to the final match day, it was basically pulled from a service that a lot of people use to watch BTV. And let me just say that a lot of times TV contracts tend to be multiple years. So there's probably a chance that neither Fubo or at least Benfica, and Benfica might have an agency that handles this type of work for them getting the TV deals. Surprising that nobody noticed that it was going to end 3 days before the final match of the season. I don't necessarily blame Fubo. They're basically in the business of showing channels, and they must have contract must have ended, is my guess. If anybody has any insight on this, please do share it, and I'll share it in the next episode next week. But the timing was just not very ugly, and I think personally for me, someone at Benfica should have been paying attention that they were going to stop offering this service on Fubo TV 3 days before the end of the season. And I would say that whether this happened with Sporting TV or Porto or really any club in Portugal, for it to be happening the week of the final season, just it leaves a bad taste with a lot of people. And somewhere along the way, someone dropped the ball on this. And so that was very disappointing to hear. But really great chat with Johnny C and Mr. Benfica. And apparently Fubo did respond. Told one of them that, they were no longer as of last Tuesday, but they didn't elaborate or provide any more information. And you got to understand something about streaming services, Hulu, Netflix, everything. You know, a few years ago, they were all about building subscriber numbers. They were not necessarily about building, you know, making money. They were trying to get as many people as possible to subscribe. And now it's kind of changed because they've lost a lot of money. and they're trying to make money now. And as a result, if they're not cutting deals that profit them, or obviously when the deal is over, they're going to cut that service. And I think that's what happened here, where the contract expired, but no one realized the timing of it leading up to the week. And unfortunately, that did affect, even though Gold TV and Nino Torres did have the game, if you were able to subscribe to Gold TV, I know a lot of people like to watch BTV as well for the pre-match commentary. And obviously, they were one of the big channels that were showing all the celebrations in the March de Pombal on Saturday night. So very glad that RTP International is back to showing the cup final. That is a tradition outside of Portugal. And again, if you're a Benfica fan, I know there's some disappointment with regards that you can't subscribe no more to BTV on that streaming service. Previewing the Taça de Portugal this weekend, we obviously have two teams that have won the last three championships, Taça de Portugal titles, Porto. They won it in 2020 and 2022. Braga won it in 2021 with Carlos Carvalhal. And these are the teams that have won the last three. I believe the one before that was Benfica, if I recall. This weekend, Porto has beaten Braga 110 times in their history. Braga's only won 25, but Braga's true history as a very good club has really been in the last 10 years. When it comes to the Taça de Portugal, basically Porto has won it, beaten them 13 times, four draws, and Braga has won four times in the Taça de Portugal competition when they played Porto. The last time these two teams played in the Liga, it was 0-0. And obviously we go into this competition with Porto already won the Super Cup, already won their first ever Taça de Liga, the League Cup trophy, and now they're looking to win their third trophy of the season out of the four that are available in Portugal. Of course, again, congratulations to Benfica on winning the Primeira Liga title, the Liga B win. But this weekend, it's very interesting. You're going to have, obviously, Claudio Ramos at goalkeeper for Porto. Tony has been an absolute killer. He has scored a lot of goals in this competition. He's been their secret weapon in these competitions, enabling Porto to rest some of their other regular starters in the Taça de Liga or the Taça de Portugal. But is he going to be a big factor this weekend? Ricardo Horta, fresh off of being called by the national team, this is his opportunity to continue to help grow Braga's club. Of course, their president, Antonio Salvador, has made it clear that he wants Braga to compete with the big boys, the big three, and they could go a long way doing this by playing Porto, which, by the way, they've had some success with Porto playing in the last 2 years. They've won some good matches. Remember last year, toward the end of the season, Porto was on this incredible streak, I think of, 59 matches without a loss in Liga. And in Braga, I think it was on April the 25th holiday, the big holiday in Portugal, April the 25th, Freedom Day. I think last year Porto beat them. Braga beat Porto to end their streak. And then most recently they played to a 0-0 draw. So this is going to be a very good match. It's the typical match where I think it's, in my opinion, I give Porto 60% favoritism to win this match. But again, what's beautiful about cup finals like this is that the history is not necessarily what happens in the Liga. It's a cup competition. Anyone could win it. And obviously, Braga is looking to become one of the big clubs in Portugal and in order to do that. And you know what's interesting about Braga is they've had some success against Porto. They've had some success against Benfica, but they haven't had a lot of success against Sporting. And it's just interesting how in Portugal, Braga just does well against certain clubs and not others. But they have done okay against Porto. So we will see what happens. Again, I would give the favoritism to Porto. This is a chance to win a third trophy, as I said, this year. On the other hand, though, I think Braga, if they really want it enough, they can make it interesting. I think for me, I'm not going to get into a prediction here, but I think whoever scores the first goal will eventually win this match. And I wouldn't be surprised if it gets decided in penalty kicks, because I think that the way these teams have played against each other, it could be that type of match. All-time titles, Porto has won 18. Braga has won 3. Benfica is the all-time leader in this competition with 26. Sporting has 17. Boa Vista, 5. I told you Braga, 3. Belenenses, 3, Vitória Setúbal 3, and Académica 2. And then there's about 5 or 6 clubs, many of them from the old days, that have won one title. So Sunday, 7:15, from the Jamor, a sold-out Jamor. Out there on the outskirts of Lisbon, you'll have two teams coming up from up north to play down south, and that is, of course, Porto versus Braga. So enjoy the match on coming up this weekend on Sunday. Manager changes. Man, there have been a lot of changes in Portugal with managers. Usually, you know, it's funny, last year in July, Guimarães lost their manager when Pepa had a falling out with the team. Gil Vicente lost Ricardo Suarez when he decided to take a big opportunity in Egypt. But we had changes throughout the summer. This year, the first week, you know, after the season is, the domestic season, Liga season is done, we've had a lot of changes. First off, Vitor Campelos is going to be leaving Chaves per reports to go to playing the English Championship with Cardiff City. Vitor was apparently set to renew with Chaves. They wanted him to come back, but then apparently he held off from signing the contract extension, and that did not make the people at Chaves very happy. And as a result, we now know why, because he had an opportunity, per reports, according to the record, they were the source on this, that he's going to be managing in Cardiff City. I worry about sometimes a manager going from a small club in Portugal to playing in a bigger league. I mean, the second division of England, the Championship, there's a lot of money in that league. A lot of money. I would say, I think I even read that there's more money in the Championship than there is in the Liga B in terms of the TV and the amount of money that's spent on tickets and commercial properties, you know, kits and things like that. But this is a very big move for Vitor Campelos. We saw Cesar Peixoto announce that he's not coming back with Passos de Ferreira. Not really a surprise. Why does he want to manage in the second division? Be very curious to see if Peixoto is going to get an opportunity with any of the other openings right now in the Liga. Tulipa is not going to be returning as Vizela manager. Of course, he took over midway through the season. And they had a decent season, mid-table, which for a club like Vizela is a very good season. But he is no longer going to be staying. Arouca made big news. Remember I told you that every summer when you have the 5th and 6th place team in Portugal that go to play in European competition, they practically go with a brand new team and a brand new manager. And we're seeing that here with Arouca already. The changes are happening. Evangelista announced that he wasn't going to come back after 3 very good years. And basically, Daniel Ramos, of course, you know him. He's managed Chaves, he's managed Marítimo, he's managed Santa Clara. I remember him first when he managed Friamund in the Taça de Portugal. I saw them play against Oriental, which was also second division at the time. This was about 6 or 7 years ago in Lisbon, and that's when I first saw him. And he's bounced around. He left Santa Clara to go take a job. I believe it was in the Middle East, and he's back now in Portugal. Now he's back managing, and he's going to be managing an Arouca team that will be going into the 3rd preliminary round this summer in the Europa Conference League. And let's hope for the first time ever we actually have a Portuguese team playing in the Europa Conference League, that one of these teams, them or Guimarães, make it out of qualifying, because obviously the Portuguese clubs need those points in the Europa Conference League. You know, again, it doesn't matter, Champions League, Europa, or Europa Conference League, the points are all the same. And obviously having these teams going into the fall, competing in group play would be very important. So good luck to Daniel Ramos. Rui Borges, he managed the Mafra, took over midway through last season, did a decent job with them. And he's going to be taking over at newly promoted Moreirense after Paulo Alves announced that he wasn't going to be going with the club. And he's looking for other opportunities. So Rui Borges, a young manager, 41-year-old, up and coming, will be taking over at Mafra. And he's done a very good job there. Ricardo Suarez is leaving Estoril. He, of course, although the results weren't necessarily the greatest, he did do what they wanted him to do. And that is to make sure that they did not get relegated. And mission accomplished on that. And of course, we know what he did 2 years ago with Gil Vicente. But Ricardo Suarez, again, when I'm dropping this episode on Friday morning, the report is that he's going to be leaving for a big opportunity in China. And look, when you go to China and when you go to the Middle East, there's a lot of money for these people to be made. And there's been a lot of criticism about the fact that there's been a lot of turnover with managers and that managers don't stick around. Well, it's bigger opportunities to make money elsewhere. They're entitled to make money and serve their family in the best way as possible. And this is what it is. And will the centralization of TV rights help these smaller clubs make more money and perhaps keep some people longer? Yes. Will it be a lot to compete with the Middle East, China, or even the English Championship? Probably not. But will it help? I think it'll help a little bit. And obviously, Ricardo Suarez is leaving for a big opportunity in China after really not doing so well in Egypt. But that is the life of a Portuguese manager. And then rounding up the managers, José Mota, who took over Feirense and got him to finish in second place. He took over, I think it was two-thirds of the way through the season. He announced that he will be coming back and will be managing Feirense next season. In the first division. Of course, José Mota has a long history of managing a lot of clubs in Portugal, and one of his claims to fame is when he managed Aves and upset Sporting in the Taça de Portugal a few years ago and helped them win a Taça de Portugal trophy for the Desportivo do Aves, a trophy that, by the way, later on was basically sold in an auction that the local municipality of Aves decided to buy because it's a piece of history in the town. And actually, I wanted to put in for it, but I wasn't going to do more than 2,000 euros. And I think it sold for something like 30. So I would have had really no shot. But a lot of changes with managers. There was even talk that Concession is being mentioned for the Napoli job. There was even another report that Saudi Arabia, I'm pretty sure they're talking about club football there, was also interested in Concession, but he's not going there. Concession wants club football. If he wants to manage in China or in Saudi Arabia, he could always do that much later in his career. He doesn't need to do this now in his prime, in his peak. But he's been mentioned in the news as well. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if we hear rumors about Roger Schmidt. Not so many rumors this week about Ruben Amorim, but I think we'll be hearing about those rumors real soon. So that'll be expected. Liga attendance, it's over. Benfica leads. 57,108 was their average. They had over 64,000 in the season finale that clinched the title against Santa Clara this weekend. Obviously, Benfica, of course, has the biggest stadium in Portugal. Porto finished second with 41,380 average attendance. Sporting, what a drop. What a drop. I think they were averaging 2 years ago, something like close to 40. They dropped all the way down to just 29,200. And 72, not very good. And Vitória Guimarães, again, no surprise. They are a much bigger club in terms of support size than Braga. They came in fourth place with 16,116, which I will tell you is very good for a club. And we'll see if Vitória Guimarães can do something special and qualify out of the Europa Conference League into the groups. Well, we'll see if that happens. Also, this week, women's football, obviously the Liga is over. As we know, Benfica winning not only as the women, but also winning the men the first time. That has ever happened in Portugal, that the men and women were won by the same club. But women's football, Francisco Neto, the manager of the Portuguese women's national team, in a special ceremony in Lisbon in the Saldanha, basically announced his 23 players for this summer's World Cup. Again, going to be a tough climb playing USA, which has won the title many times, the Netherlands, a lot of big history, and then Vietnam as well. Vietnam, like Portugal, are playing in the World Cup for the first time. But Francisco Neto did pick 23 players. Most of them are from Portugal. There's a few that play abroad, but it is definitely mostly a Portuguese domestic squad. And they will start training in a few weeks. And then on July the 10th, they will make the very long trip to beautiful New Zealand for the to get ready for the World Cup. Second division report, obviously the big thing this week is obviously the playoff between Estrela Amadora, who will be hosting the first leg at home, taking on 16th place Marítimo. Marítimo, will they stay up? If not, there will be no teams in the first division next year from either the Azores or the Madeira Islands, and that's not good. But obviously we have a very big match coming up this weekend between Estrela Amadora, two different teams, with two different success stories. Estrela Amadora was in the hunt for first place, but they still made it into the playoff. Marítimo was struggling all year, and even though they have more first division players than the second division, I think Estrela Amadora is good. I will say, I think my prediction is I see Estrela Amadora basically winning these two legs, the first leg being on this Saturday. on Saturday night. I see them winning this. But if Maritimo can go there and put together and score two or three goals and put together a positive result, then I think they will win the second leg. And we'll see what happens. And by the way, Patrice Evra, who played for Manchester United and the French national team, he's part of a North American group that now owns 90% of Estrela Amadora, and he's going to be in Portugal this weekend to watch his investment, one of the investors, of course, and he's going to be in the Amadora to see this match this weekend. Again, I talked about it last week. Best that I know, it's American. They own 90% of Estrela Amadora. And by the way, when you own a club in Portugal, you want to be playing the first division. Well, they've got two matches to do it. So we'll see if Patrice Evra, again, former Manchester United player and French national team, whether he will bring them good luck on Saturday. And also, very interesting story about Estrela Amadora. They're charging just €1 to attend the match. They want a full house. They want to qualify and get to the first division next year. After, you know, this is a club with a lot of history in the first division, but they ran into a lot of problems. They were sent down to the districts and have worked their way back after so many years. But if you're in Lisbon area and you're in the region, €1 is what it costs to go to this match. I was talking to someone who's going to be in Portugal this weekend. He was telling me that, you know, he was trying, first of all, he wanted to go to the Taça de Portugal, and he wasn't able to go because the tickets just sold out so quickly. His name, by the way, is Lawrence Brody. Hello, Lawrence. And basically, he was trying to watch the Taça de Portugal, finally couldn't. And he wanted to be, now he's going to be able to watch football, and he'll be able to watch this playoff, which he was able to get tickets. But interesting, they're charging €1, and they're going to be donating, by the way, Estrela Amadora, the money from the tickets. Very sad story. 13-year-old Maria Mensch, unfortunately, had an accident in gymnastic training, and unfortunately, she's paraplegic, and they're going to be donating the money, the proceeds from this game to her and her family. So, terrific job there by Estrela Amadora, taking on a very important match, trying to get as many people as possible into the stadium, and then taking the ticket money. Because remember, if they qualify for the first division, they're going to be making a lot more money next year than they did in the second. And they're taking this money, and they're putting it to a good cause. Awesome idea. And again, I just love everything about it. So great job by Estrela Amadora. And one more note about the second division. Pedro Moreira, who managed the Torreens, my favorite club in the second division, from Torres Vedras. If you remember, Torreens started off in last place, I think, after the first four or five match days, after they were promoted from the third division, winning the title last year, and then coming up to the second division. Pedro Moreira took over the club, I think it was back in October, and led them all the way up to, I think, top eight. Never were threatened the rest of the way to be relegated. They just finished, and they had a fantastic season. After many, it's been many, many years that they weren't in the second division. And Torreens, I have a cousin of mine named Aníbal, who's a priest in a town in Vilad, who's a big fan of this team. And he is very, very happy that what they did. But I'm sure everybody wishes in Torres Vedras that Pedro Moreira will stay. But you know, that's not how it works. Managers move up the pyramid, so don't be surprised if his name pops up for one of the first division jobs. That wraps up part one of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back. If you're a first-time listener, please give this podcast a follow on Spotify, Google Podcast, iTunes. I also put up the audio on YouTube, and of course, there's other platforms. Amazon Music, it's on Amazon Music. So it's also on Podcast Addict. And again, if you do subscribe, thank you so much. And of course, as well, subscribe to the social media, PSoccerCom on Twitter. Same address for Facebook and our partner Instagram account, Portuguese_soccer_noticias. And again, like I always say, I even have some people, I was up in Massachusetts this weekend, and people always say, I was at a barbecue, well, how can we support PortugueseSoccer.com? I've been following this, everything you do for the past 25 years, and I always say, just give it a follow. Following is the best way to support this, all the efforts that are put into this, and I really appreciate it. So thank you so much for those that continue to listen to this podcast. I really appreciate it. And I love your comments. When you DM them, I'm hoping to bring back the comments for DM this summer. Maybe we'll see about how that goes. But that's one of my goals this summer. So we'll see what happens with that. But let's talk a little bit. First off, Roberto Martinez, of course, this past Monday, announced his squad selections for the upcoming Euro qualifiers, coming up on the 17th against Bosnia and the 20th in Iceland. And I had mentioned last week that I thought Ricardo Horta would be called up, and it was correct. He did. I think Ricardo Horta is a great option. Surprised to see Renato Sanchez. I know he's been injured. He hasn't done a lot of things this year. But again, I think Renato has a very strong history playing for the Selecion for some reason. Some players tend to disappear. He disappears maybe with his clubs, but he doesn't necessarily disappear when he plays for Portugal. And maybe that's one of the things that Roberto Martinez is figuring out. But he is back on the squad. No Pote and no Nuno Santos, which surprised me a little bit, especially Pote. I think, you know, here he is, 11 assists, 15 goals, the only player in the Portuguese first division to be double figures. You know, he sort of did the double-double. And he doesn't get called up, and it's a bit of a surprise. And, you know, we saw João Mário announce his retirement on Sunday, this past Sunday. I was not surprised. He's doing a Rafa. He knows he's not going to play a lot with the national team that's here. He wants to dedicate himself to Benfica and finish his career strong. Obviously, they won the championship. They made a run in the Champions League, and they could have done better than the quarterfinals, but they got a taste of that possibility. And I think, much like Rafa, I think João Mário realizes that he's not going to be a regular starter. He'd rather just have the rest. He'd rather see his family. He'd rather just, you know, be a footballer domestically in club football. And, you know, he's done the national thing. I mean, he won the Euro, of course, and he's done it. He's been the national team. No one could take that away from him, but that was a bit of a surprise. And obviously the big surprise with Roberto Martinez call up was Toti Gomes. No one saw that coming, a young player from Wolves. And obviously that's a very big thing. And again, I still like to see Jota from Celtic. I think when they play a Luxembourg and Liechtenstein, I'd like to see Roberto Martinez play the seldom used players, especially against Liechtenstein, to see what they can do. But these next two matches, I don't think they're necessarily the type of matches that you do that. Bosnia has a terrific history. They've got some tough players that know how to play this sport. Iceland, we know Iceland, what they did back in 2016, so you got to be very careful. And Portugal does have a history. This used to be a problem with the golden generation where they go to play in these countries that they should win, but these countries are not necessarily pushovers, and you have to be very careful. And Portugal sometimes drops points to an Iceland, for instance, where, you know, they don't take them seriously. They'll take a Bosnia seriously, but they don't take Iceland, because Iceland's maybe not the same team that they were maybe, 7 years ago. But we have plenty of time to talk about, you know, these two matches coming up. But I would have liked to have seen Celtic Jota in it. But the big face was Toti Gomes, and we'll see what he'll do. I don't think he's going to play, but obviously having him you know, merge with the players, be around them, be around the clubhouse, travel with them, and just feed off the players, I think that's going to be very good for the youngster from Wolves. So we'll see what happens with that. And that's my thoughts on Roberto Martinez. Other news, by the way, I should have mentioned the second division report. Congratulations to Moreirense, not only for winning the second division, but they also finished with 79 points, which is a second division record. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to Benfica on winning. Porto is going to the Champions League. Congratulations to Braga on going to play in the Champions League qualifiers. We'll see what happens. And obviously, congratulations. It was a great season in the first division. I was very happy with it. But now there's going to be a lot of changes, and Boa Vista is losing their president, Vitor Morta. The story is that there's some new changes with the investors in the club, the SAD, so he has decided to leave. Boa Vista, of course, I remember when they won the first division very well that year. I followed that team the whole time. They did very well in the Champions League. They held their own. But Boa Vista, as we know, ran into serious financial problems. They're still sort of dealing with that. And they basically, they need more money. And there's been some changes that are being made to find new ways to get some talent into this club. And the president of Boa Vista, Vitor Morta, is going to be leaving. As you know, in Portugal, unlike in other parts of the world, presidents of clubs have a very high regard with the fans. They hold a very high position, bigger, especially with the press compared to other countries. And this is a big change by Boa Vista that this change is going to be happening. Other news for regarding the Champions League, again, as I'm just jumping around here with everything first, second division. The Champions League pots, Benfica will be in pot one, Porto will be in pot two, and Braga, if they qualify to the groups, will be in pot three. So that'll be taking place. I think that's taking place in early August. But that's kind of been decided. A big three report. How did you see, and if not, go to PortugueseSoccer.com Twitter. Did you see the rap video that Bruno de Carvalho was in? Let me tell you something. I know a lot of people that aren't happy with Bruno de Carvalho, and I've spoken about him in the past. I've read his two books. I love the story he tells. Again, if you read Portuguese, I encourage you to read these two books, the story he tells. First, when he came into Sporting, what he had to deal with, and then what he had to deal with trying to get this club and competing with the rest of the league. The story he tells about Marco Silva, unbelievable. And I'll say that, I don't want to spoil it for you, but the amount of shenanigans that go on in Portugal is incredible, and I think he does a very good job of talking about it. But, you know, ever since he's left Sporting, you know, we obviously know that he did reality TV. I believe he's been remarried. And he did this, basically this rap video with a rapper, and let's just say they got a lot of attention. So, you know, the guy doesn't care what people say about him. He just wants to have a good time in life. And you know what? I respect that. I really respect people that want to have a good time in life and don't want to be miserable because their detractors want them to be miserable. So I give a guy a credit. I'd be wondering if he's ever going to come back to football. I think he turned around Sporting's financial fortunes. I don't think he gets enough credit for that. And I think Sporting fans won't give him credit, but he really deserves a lot of credit for turning around their fortunes. Other things, obviously, the big rumors this week continue to be Ugarte and whether or not, you know, PSG, Chelsea, and then reportedly Manchester United got into the mix with this. We'll see what happens. Supposedly, as I'm dropping this Friday, the story is that PSG made a big offer. Chelsea also made an offer, and obviously Chelsea plays in the Premier League, which is attractive to him. But they weren't offering as much money as PSG. And then the next day, a report came out saying that he would be offered $3 million net after taxes with Chelsea. So we'll see what happens. We know Manchester United could pay him big money. You know, what happens here is, again, his agents are doing a great job putting him on in the news as much as they are. It always amazes me how many English fans, and I love you all, don't watch a lot of Portuguese football, and then when they hear that that their club is interested in a Portuguese player, they get so interested in them, and then all of a sudden everybody's an expert on Ugarte. Great talent. I think he can make a difference. Is he going to be a world beater? Probably not. But is he going to be a player better than what you have already at Chelsea? I think so. I don't think there's any. I think there's better players at PSG. But you know what? At Chelsea, with them trying to turn it around, and I think they're not. And I can't remember where they're going to be playing in Europe next year. I don't know if they even are. This is the type of player that you could bring in and give him time to get acclimated to playing in the Premiership. And I think he could do a very good job. You know, in my opinion, obviously there were some rumors with Nojai, a Basel striker. We'll see if that happens. There were several players that play in the Swiss league that were linked up with Benfica, Porto, and Sporting this week. So we'll see about that. And by the way, Gonçalo Esteves, who will always have a special place for me as a fan because he's from the greatest, I could confirm this, the greatest small town in Portugal, and that is, of course, Arcos do Valdez. But he apparently is not part of Sporting's plans for this upcoming season, 2023-2024. Gonçalo, I have a suggestion for you. You should pull a LeBron James. LeBron went back to Cleveland, won a title for them. Go back to Atlético dos Arcos. I know it's the fifth tier. Help them, okay? Because they need it. Get the hell out of the fifth tier because they're always finishing and losing the playoff or finishing in second place, and they never make it to the fourth tier. Here's what we can offer you. You make it, and you get them to the fourth tier. I guarantee you, you'll never, ever pay for another ball of the Berlin in Arcos do Valdez. You will never pay for another Galone. The girls will love you at the Guia, the discotheque. You'll always have the best spot on the river beach. I guarantee it. And truth of the matter is, you can walk into any restaurant, and someone will pay for your drinks. Take advantage of it, Gonçalo. Obviously, I'm just joking. But Gonçalo Esteves, again, what is his future? We don't know. But if if you want to get really crazy, why not go back to Atlético do Arcos? And also, congratulations to Sporting finishing the season with on a 14-match unbeaten streak in the Liga. So that's pretty big. Benfica, you know the story, them winning the Liga B win title number 38, their first trophy in 4 years. Great job by Roger Schmidt, who I think is just a fantastic manager. And listen to this comment by Roger Schmidt that was asked of him after Sergio Conceição thought that they were the better team. And listen to Roger Schmidt's comment.
Sergio Conceição said yesterday that Porto was the best team in the league. Can you prove him wrong?
No, it's okay. When it's his opinion, and I accept. In my opinion, I haven't seen all the matches of Porto, to be honest. But I saw us playing, and I think we played very well. And like I said before on the press conference before the match, in my opinion, the team who has at the end, after 34 match days, the most points, and if this team also scored the most goals and conceded the at least goals, I think then they deserve to become champion, and in this role is Benfica.
That was Roger Schmidt answering the question about Conceição, who thought that he thought his team played better. He thought his team was the better team, but they obviously did not win. It was Benfica, and I thought that Roger Schmidt gave a very very good answer without trying to create controversy. But that was a comment by Roger Schmidt earlier this week in an interview that he did. But congratulations to Benfica. I was not able to see the celebrations this past weekend, but my understanding is that they were very, very, very big. Also, there's news that Benfica is going after the Hungarian kid that plays left back for Alkmaar in Holland. But apparently it's gotten difficult because now there's other clubs in Europe that are starting to pay attention to him. And that, by the way, is one of the negatives about the Portuguese press. You know, if I'm an agent and I call up the Portuguese paper and I give them a scoop, the Portuguese press will run it crazy, you know, will run it big time. The problem with that is that so is everybody else paying attention. And there's a lot more clubs in Portugal that are basically saying, you know what? If you've got clubs like Benfica, Porto, and Sporting buying up these younger players, and these players are turning into really great players, maybe we should buy these kids too instead of letting them go to Portugal first. And I think that's what's kind of happening with this kid, Kirkes. He's trying to get a lot of big interest. And we'll see what happens if Benfica eventually get them. And Benfica was also linked to a player from Basel named Amadani, who they consider to be an alternate. I believe he's from Shakhtar. Property of Shakhtar, but he was loaned to a club in Switzerland. I believe it was Basel too, and so he's in the news again. So we'll see what happens. There's going to be so many rumors about people coming to Portugal to play. Plenty of time this summer for me to talk about that. And let me wrap up the last part of this episode. Conceição again being linked with Napoli in Saudi Arabia. We saw Diego Costa being linked with Manchester United. I'm surprised that hasn't gotten a lot of run compared to Ugarte and Chelsea. There hasn't been a lot of news. Not even Ojogo has jumped on it a lot. But it'll be interesting to see if Costa to Manchester United stories become true. Player abroad, congratulations to Leite. Diogo Leite, you know, interesting. He considered excess at Porto, goes on loan to Braga, does okay, but didn't really play a lot at the end. And then all of a sudden goes to Union Berlin. And the typical story we see, like Celtic, you know, Jota at Celtic, it's worked for him playing in the Bundesliga. They decide to purchase him for 7.5 million, so that's good money for Porto. But on the other hand, though, if he could be that successful in the Bundesliga, perhaps Porto should have given him a shot. I mean, people are second-guessing David Carmo, you know, and, you know, Pep's eventually not going to be there forever. But Porto made 7.5 million, and now he's going to stay at Union Berlin, who, by the way, will be playing in the Champions League next year. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Union Berlin gets matched up with Porto. Fate, when you've got players that leave their old club, fate tends to make that happen where you wind up playing your former club again. And obviously another big story was Ruben Vinagre is leaving Everton. Didn't really play a lot. There's no room for him at Sporting. Where is he going to go? We'll see. We'll see what happens. And I'm going to end it with here, but let me just remind you, I will come back next week on my Liga Best 11. But let me end it here talking about my favorite club in Portugal in the fifth tier, the one that I think Gonçalo Esteves should play for, and that is, of course, Atlético dos Arcos, they finished their season in second place in the Viana do Castelo district, and they will be going, well, they did not win. Only one team gets promoted to the fourth tier, and they finished second. They do get a Taça de Portugal berth, so they'll be playing in the first round coming up this September. And I think they're going to be, I think last year they played Vila Verdense in the first round, and they were eliminated. And Vila Verdense now apparently is going to be playing, I think they're playing, I think they're playing B-Sod for the second division. So B-Sod is playing to stay in the second division. Lenk Vila Verdense is playing to go to the second division. The winner of that two-leg playoff, that's another playoff taking place this weekend, will be advancing. But, you know, Atlético dos Arcos winds up always playing these tough teams that are in the third division in the first round of the Taça Portugal. So it's really tough. But the goal was to, of course, win it. And, unfortunately, we did not win the division and advance to the fourth tier. So we come back. And it continues to be a very, very big disappointment. But that's it for the Atlético dos Arcos talk. Anything comes up during the summer, I'll talk about it. But the districts don't tend to start until the middle of September. So that's it. So anyway, folks, thanks for listening again to episode 173 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Thank you again for taking time out of your week to listen to what I have to say. And again, it comes from the heart. It's as objective as I can be. Not going to satisfy everybody, but it's impossible to satisfy everybody Portuguese. That's just the way it is. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your family. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.